Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace. This is Phil Giuliotti with Steve Garcher. We're here on The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220, and we're going through this lesson from John chapter 4 on the woman at the well. So when the woman talks about worship, the point here, and we talked a little bit about this last time, was the Samaritans worshipped on Mount Gerizim, and the Jews, of course, worshipped in Jerusalem only.
Right.
And in Jesus' time, of course, the second temple was in full operation for about another 40 years before it was destroyed. And the Samaritans felt that they had good, solid ground to worship on Mount Gerizim because the patriarchs had been there, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, this well, this cistern, was dug, as she put it, by our father Jacob,
right,
because Jacob was also their father. And they knew that the tradition that the patriarchs had worshipped there was very important. Also, in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and chapter 27, Mount Gerizim comes up as the mountain from which the people were blessed as they came into the land. There was Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Mount Gerizim, the people were blessed as they came into the land. They proclaimed the blessings from Mount Gerizim, and from Mount Ebal, the curses came. In other words, blessed if you do this, cursed if you don't do that. Blessed if you don't do this, cursed if you do do that. Kind of rung out between these two mountains as the peoples passed before them. So they used this as a mountain of blessing. Jacob had been there. Jacob had dug this well. This was the basis of their tradition. And because the Samaritans did have the Torah. They did have the first five books of the Tanakh of the Old Testament. But because they had all these influences with the Assyrians, they worshiped the God of Israel as the main God of that land, but they had other gods as well that they had learned about from the Assyrians. So they had these pagan influences. And Jesus points out, you know, he's going to talk about in a minute about how the Jews are actually the ones that are right,
mm-hmm.
not you guys, because you guys have messed this up a little bit. And the mess up you've made of this is much more important than the mountain is. So this is not the place where you're supposed to worship.
Right.
In the Torah, God says over and over again, he's going to put his glory and he's going to put his name in a place. And, you know, first it was the tent in the wilderness, and then it was Shiloh where the ark was, and then it was wherever the ark was, and then eventually it was in Jerusalem. And David and Solomon... You know, David starts getting the stuff ready to build the temple. Solomon builds the temple. This is where God puts his name and his glory. So Jesus basically says, we Jews are right. And he uses the pronoun we because he is a Jew. And he's saying we are right because we worship. We know what we worship. You guys don't know what you worship. We worship the God of the universe. You guys worship that God as a kind of a more local deity, plus you have other gods that are not true gods or pagan gods. So therefore, the actual situation is we Jews are right, you Samaritans are not. And then he adds, salvation is from the Jews.
Exactly. And he is, you know, he's talking to her about the gift of life-giving water.
Amen.
And he is the gift of salvation.
Right. His name literally means salvation.
Right.
Yeshua. Which literally means salvation in Hebrew. And he points out that salvation is from the Jews because, you know, when you think about it, as we've talked about many times before, as the genealogy goes through these people, eventually leading to the Messiah, leading to Jesus in his human nature, his humanity, it's all through the Jews. It's not through anybody else. It's right. Not through pagans. It's through the Jews. This is the plan of salvation that unfolds. And now salvation is sitting there beside her in a very physical way,
right,
and says, salvation is from the Jews, and here I am.
Right.
So you guys are wrong. We're the ones that are right, is basically what he tells her.
Right. And he says, but the hour is coming,
yes,
and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And then she starts talking about the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Anointed. When he comes, he will tell us everything. And Jesus says to her, I am he, the one who is speaking with you.
Amen.
Wow, can you imagine that?
That's pretty cool. Yeah, she, you know, although they are Samaritans there, and although Jesus has just told her the Jews are the ones that are right, you know, we worship the real God, you guys do and you don't, and you got all this other stuff going on. They knew the concept that there was a Messiah coming.
Right.
Because that's in their roots, you know, and we, as we said many times on this show, that actually starts in Genesis chapter 3, where God promises a Redeemer to fix the sin problem that Adam and Eve have caused.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows that there's a Messiah coming.
Right.
You know, we get our word Messiah from the Hebrew word Mashiach, and the word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos. They both mean the Anointed One.
Right.
So she is aware of this concept. You know, Jesus, when he talks about the Jews, he's saying, you know, the people in Jerusalem know what they worship because we have the whole scripture, which at that time, of course, was what we call the Old Testament. And God reveals himself through that scripture. You guys have part of that scripture, but you also have all this other messy stuff that doesn't have anything to do with God. So even though you're aware of the fact that Messiah is coming, the Jews are the ones that are right. And by the way, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christos that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So this is quite a shock to her. And now that this new covenant is coming, you know, he points out to her that, you know, pretty soon the place where you worship is not going to be all that important. It's nice to worship in Jerusalem, and it's nice to worship in holy places, you know, wherever you find them, but you can worship anywhere. The external parts of the worship are not going to be as important. Gentiles are going to be included. Imagine that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, you know, Paul writes, pray everywhere, lift up holy hands and pray everywhere. And even in the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 1, you know, God says to Malachi, my name's going to be great among the Gentiles in every place.
Right.
So whether you're in Cleveland or whether you're in Jerusalem or whether you're in Los Angeles or whether you're in Lima, Peru, you can still worship God.
Exactly.
The place is not as important because God is spirit, and he wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth.
Right.
So the old dispensation is going to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
All the sacrifices, all the formalities of what they had been given is going to give way to the new covenant. And we're going to relate to God in a totally different way. We're going to relate at a totally different level. And like we like to talk about, too, on this show, going back to the veil being torn.
Right.
The separation between man and God is going to be removed because of the Messiah.
Right. And he's going to do that when when the veil is torn. That's when Jesus is crucified.
Right.
He gives up his spirit. And the veil of the temple is torn, and the Holy of Holies is exposed, because now there is no more separation between man and God.
Exactly.
Because of the sacrifice that Jesus, Yeshua, gave of his life.
That's right.
Yeah.
So a new dispensation is coming. A new covenant is coming. In fact, he says the time is now. He says it's already come.
Yeah.
Because I'm the one. I mean, this is radical.
Yeah.
This is earth-shattering. And this is the Samaritan woman who's, you know, what most people would call just a sinner, just like a, you know, you can imagine all the words they would use about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's getting this information that the time's come now.
Yeah. Her visitation is right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And, you know, she says, you know, when the Messiah comes, when the Christ comes, he's going to tell us everything. He's going to lead us in truth. He's going to lead us in knowledge. He's going to lead us in the Word.
And he just did that to
her.
And
he says, I'm the guy. I told you all this stuff already. I'm the one you're talking about. Well, by now she's totally blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it.
And then lo and behold, the rest of the crew comes back
with a bag of sandwiches,
and they miss this whole dialogue.
Yes, they're coming all excited because they got lunch.
We found the deli. We're back.
Yeah. And you know, you see, it says there that they're surprised he's talking to a woman.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not only a woman, but a Samaritan woman.
Right.
They don't even know. They don't even comment on this. It just says they're surprised.
Because in the culture of that day, a man would not talk to another woman unless her husband was present.
That's right.
Correct.
That's right. Absolutely so, right. And many Orthodox Jews to this day will not talk to a woman that they're not related to,
right,
or that they're not married to,
right.
And there's no contact, even simple things like shaking hands or, you know, patting somebody on the shoulder. I mean, that's out.
Yeah, they don't do anything like that.
Right. And so they're surprised. Now, can you imagine if a couple of Pharisees would have come by? Of course, they wouldn't have been in Samaria. They would have been defiled. But can you imagine if a couple of Pharisees would have been with these guys if they came back with the sandwiches? I mean, they couldn't even deal with the fact that Jesus talked to tax collectors and ate with sinners. And, you know, they would have just gone nuts. I mean, they would have had to be resuscitated because this was a shocking behavior. Shocking behavior, but this woman had been reached in a very real and a very powerful way through all the clouds of her sin and her, you know, dissolute lifestyle and everything else.
Right.
He reaches through all that, and now she's totally amazed.
So amazed.
Yeah.
That she runs off without her water jug.
That's right.
The very thing that she came to get, she just leaves it there. It goes into town and runs.
Exactly. 20 minutes before, she's got the bucket. Why are you talking to me? We don't like you people. You don't like me. Why are you asking me questions? How can you get water? You don't even have a bucket. How can that be? Now, forgets about the bucket, forgets about the water. Because now she's been convicted of her sin, and she's understood that this guy is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
That he's been sitting there with her during this whole interchange. And now she's going to run back to the town in just a total excitement. And we're going to get back to finish the last part of this teaching after this one-minute break.
Only upon God, for from Him is my expectation.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.